Welcome into the BBP. This is the Bengals Beat Podcast presented by Inquirer Sports. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals beat writers, Paul Ener Jr. and Jim Ossarski, invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out the insider news as well as listening on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. Remember, you can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Just search Inquirer Bengals Beat Podcast. And as always, you can listen on our free Cincinnati Inquirer Bengals app. If you don't have the app, well, I suggest rectifying that situation immediately in the App Store. Now, if you're down with BBP, let's go. All right, welcome into the BBP. Paul Daner Jr. and Jim Ossarski, your Bengals beat writers for Cincinnati Inquirer, coming at you after, you'll be shocked to hear, this is just, it's becoming a bit repetitive after the Steelers stick the knife in the heart of Bengals fans and bring out a little bit more rage. You know, that it was like latent rage that was just sort of sitting there that maybe they'd started to get over. But the second they saw the Steelers again and feel like there were bad calls again, it just brought it all back out.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's two things. But I've only been around for now four of these. And yet, after all four, there's one Bengals victory. So that's a common theme. And then the post game or during game, it's not about football. It's all about this other stuff. I mean, you know what I mean? It's either penalties or not penalties or things that are called or not called or replays or non-replays or, you know what I mean? It's just...
Yeah. No, I know exactly what you mean. And everybody... It's because when you have... It can't be about what happened on the field because neither team would admit that the other one beat them.
Right.
Ever. You know, especially when you get into what fans say.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's... So it's always others. All this, and the games are normally typically close in these where you do have stuff like that that decides it. I want to say this before we get too deep into this right now. And I want to put this out there so everyone knows where I stand on this. The Bengals lost because they deserved to lose. They were beaten in every single facet of the game fairly soundly.
Yes.
Pittsburgh had the better special teams. Pittsburgh definitely had the better offense. And Pittsburgh played better defense. They were better in the red zone. They were better on third downs. Is there any? I don't know what else is left. The Bengals were competitive and made a valiant effort at the end. It was just that. It was a lot of last ditch stuff that happened. Tyler Boyd, whether he fumbled or not, the Bengals were still on the 33 yard line and had a long way to go, and then needed a 2-point conversion, and then would need to win in overtime.
Right.
So let's not start talking about this was a controversial ending, because it wasn't. It was stuff like that happens when you put yourself down 24-9. There were bad calls all over the place. I thought Pete Morelli and his crew were terrible on all sides. There were bad calls that went for the Bengals. There were bad calls that went against the Bengals. I don't know why they didn't call holding all day. Really, there was one holding call. It was on Andrew Whitworth. There was another one on James Wright on the edge. As far as offensive line holding, they called one.
Yeah.
Everybody holding all day on both sides. Now, you can go and you can talk about all you want. The Bengals got beat. And the officials didn't help them, maybe, in some people's opinion. And certainly they were bad. I'm saying that right now. But the Bengals got beat soundly, and that is what matters right now.
Yeah,
I'm glad I got that off my chest.
Yeah,
I need that. All this officiating talk. Everybody wants to blame the refs. You're down 24-9. You know.
Yeah, I don't really. You know, it's one of those things. I have a hard time with officiating stuff, and it's not because I'm blind or that I don't want to acknowledge things that I see. But in the end, it's just, I don't want to say it is what it is, but it is like that. If they don't,
and it happens.
If they don't call anything, then they don't call it. And it's, you know, when it comes to possession and especially the Tyler Boyd thing. And I look, Marvin Lewis, I don't agree with a lot of the things he says sometimes or the way he says it, but especially we'll go down to Boyd because I know people have a lot of getting real fired up about that one, where it's just, hand the ball to the official. Mm-hmm. Today at Paul Brown Stadium, we were reviewing the difference between Xavier Gimbel's touchdown and breaking the plane versus Tyler Eifert from a year ago. And it's like, I don't really get the persecution complex at times, but honestly, having covered other teams in other cities and other markets, this conversation happens every Monday all over the country.
Yeah,
it just so happens that the Bengals don't win the game.
Yeah.
As you said, they didn't win, and they usually don't against Pittsburgh.
And they didn't deserve to win. And that, to me, they didn't deserve to have a lot of bad calls go against them, but that's not why they lost.
Right.
They lost because they were outclassed a little bit. I mean, Pittsburgh was clearly the better team. And whether that was calls or conditions or whatever outside source that you want to blame it on, they didn't play like they have played when they've won there.
Right.
I mean, the red zone stuff is killer.
Yeah.
And just being in third and long all day is killer.
Yeah.
We'll get into all that stuff. But, I think it was clear on this day the Bengals are not where they need to be compared to Pittsburgh yet. And that's okay.
Yes.
We said this before the season started when we picked them to start 0-2, and we talked about the way it's going to go. It's going to take a little bit of time when you start talking about all these new pieces that you're putting together.
Right.
You're just not going to show up and be playing like you were in the middle of the year last year with Marvin Jones, Muhammad Sanu, and Tyler Eifert, guys that you've been that Andy Dalton had been playing with forever, with Hugh Jackson, who's been coordinating them for multiple years.
Yeah.
It's just not gonna work like that. And I think you're gonna go into Pittsburgh, a place where this team barely wins anyway.
Right.
Even when they're really good, some of their best seasons, they still lose there.
Yeah.
It's okay to lose there. To think they're just going to go in there and just look great, I think, is false. But that doesn't mean we can't address the issues and talk about which ones are real and which ones are not.
Right. Yeah, and it's funny, Paul, and that's a good segue into what the meat of this BBP is going to be about. But it's funny because post-game, Andy Dalton says, kind of took offense to the question that this was a work in progress on offense, which I guess you would expect him to. Whereas then Ken Zampezi on Monday, while admitting fault in a lot of areas, and I think fans would be interested to hear that, and also admitting, this is essentially Cedric Oboye's 10th practice because the dude didn't participate at all in OTAs and missed all of camp. And, same thing with the Boyd and Alex Erickson and some of these guys. It is early, and Kenny tied it up and said, hey, it's still, clock's ticking. Still sure. Regular season. But, you're right, Paul. I think that has reared its head the first 2 weeks, as much as we expected.
Yeah, and we knew this early run, the Jets' defense is good. The Broncos' defense coming up is championship good. Pittsburgh's defense is much improved from last year.
Yeah.
I was surprised at how well they did.
I thought their defensive backfield performed way better than I imagined. I wasn't surprised that, that they didn't get any sacks. Well, maybe because they thought it was going to be a point of emphasis for them. But they really, to really just take A.J. Green out of the game.
Yeah, with impressive. Russ Cockrell following him around. Right. You just don't think that's going to happen. 1 week after Darrell Revis, all of a sudden it's Russ Cockrell who shuts him down a little bit. You're surprised by that. But they gave him help. They knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
Let's dive into this. So we're gonna get into a lot of a lot of today is gonna be about the offense because I think that's the most interesting part of this, and to me the real part of this that I think that has issues that need to be dealt with. The defense I thought played okay. They were put in bad field position over and over again. They needed to be better in the red zone, but that stuff happens. They need to be better stopping the run. Well. Their number one run stopper is not playing right now.
Yeah.
So there's stuff there that I think you see what's going on. With the offense, it's much more complicated, right? Let's start here. The running game. if or the lack thereof. I mean, it's not even as much about the fact that they only rushed, they've rushed for less than 60 yards now in each of their first two games. You got to go back a long way to have two games less than 60 yards. 93. Hope you remember the bad Bengals 93. Wish I could, I probably could name some guys off that team just off the top of my head, but that would have been EB, Eric Ball, who's with the team now.
Yeah.
He was probably on that team. Harold Green might have been on that team. I'm trying to think, 93. Jeff Cothran, fullback, might have gotten a few carries. I mean, there's my point being, they're not giving it to him.
No.
And they're not lining up like a team that cares about running the football. If Ryan Hewitt plays 16 snaps in two games, why did you give him a three-year extension? That's a problem. I don't think they care, and that's fine. Maybe they don't, and teams all over this league are caring less and less about running the damn football. But I don't think this team, through 2 weeks, has shown that they care a lick about running it.
Yeah, it was interesting. You know, so I got a chance to sit with Ken Zampezi after the first week, and I asked him about this. And he essentially called run-pass discrepancy irrelevant. And it was easy to say that because Andy, not including sacks, had thrown 30 passes, and they won the game. Then this week, when Andy throws 54 passes, and that discrepancy just totally, you know, became so much wider, so in just in a week's time, yeah, we need to be more balanced. Yeah, Ryan Hewitt is too good a player to not have him on the field. So I'm curious, like, if they would have somehow come back and won the game because Andy had to chuck it 60 times if you were to include overtime, what the tone would be. But you're right. They really haven't not only haven't they run it, but then when they have, as Marvin Lewis said, they haven't been good at it.
No. That's the other side of it is I don't necessarily blame you for throwing it 54 times when you only get 2 yards a carry.
Right.
But, you know, if there's anything, I mean, how many times did we sit in Hugh Jackson's office and him tell us that attempts is all that matters?
Yeah.
I mean, that was his philosophy on the running game. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm telling you, there is a lot to that. He would say all attempts is what matters. It's what keeps the defense honest. And it gives you more chance to pop those long runs that do make the difference. This team cannot go on unable to run the ball and expect to do anything that they want to do this year.
Yeah.
They're not going to make the playoffs if they continue to be like they have been the first. I mean, Andy Dalton's a good quarterback. He had a great year last year, and I think he's actually played pretty well. He had his rough moments yesterday, but it was a pretty sloppy game in general.
Right.
I mean, just the conditions and the field and everything else. I'm not making excuses, but it's not exactly a quarterback heaven. Even if he's playing really well, he is not Aaron Rodgers. He is not Tom Brady. He is not these guys that can get by solely on the quarterback's arm. You've got to build the other pieces around him. That's what he's best at, too, is knowing how to organize and find the weaknesses by using all of the elements. But if he doesn't have access to a potent running game, he's not going to see any of the mismatches that he wants. I don't know. I find the way that this has started the first 2 weeks a bit disturbing. If you're a Bengals fan, I would be concerned about that. We talked about it in the first half of the Jets game when it was 24-6 passes to runs. Right. Who saw that coming?
Yeah.
And it's been more of the same, really, for two games.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because how about it, Paul? I mean, that was the thought all summer through four preseason games. What was going to be Ken Zampezi's play calling personality? No one knew. And I think we've seen it. Because, you know, the preseason was interesting because they went heavy. They were in the I formation. Jake Fisher, before he got hurt in Detroit, was out on. Now, granted, he had to play with the start, but in that Minnesota game, now I'm remembering Witt didn't play, but they were running that lineman out there. They were running heavy with mm-hmm. with Uzama and Hewitt. And I know they had extra tight ends they were able to play, but we saw, and I think you and I, if I can recall this, sort of expected a run-heavy look, you know, as they waited for Tyler Eifert to get healthy, as they waited for the, and it was interesting because, but there was that counterbalance of like, well, they kept, or they promoted Ken because of the relationship with Andy, and we thought they were putting more on Andy to bring the receivers along. So it's kind of like, well, there's both of these elements, right? Waiting for the offense and the receivers to gel, but also trusting your QB. Art, we just thought maybe it would kind of roll with Hugh, but it's been more Jay Gruden, right?
It's been more Jay Gruden, and people don't like this name, Bob Gronkowski.
Yeah.
Throwing it all over the place.
Right.
I mean, Jay threw it a lot, but he was a balanced guy, too. I mean, he gave Cedric Benson over 300 carries, you know. I mean, yeah.
I guess I was thinking more of that.
You know, you're right. No, yeah. You're right. You're exactly right in what you're saying. Yeah, you know, you're right. And it just seemed that's where their experience was. So when you're trying to figure out how to survive these early weeks when you've got all these new guys, you should play to where your continuity is. And your continuity was in the running game. That's why it seemed like, well, that's where you should be going with it.
Yeah, Giovanni Bernard and Ryan Hewitt got paid this summer.
Yeah. And one of them has been a complete non-factor.
Yeah.
I mean, that just baffles me. There's a lot of things you can't control. Guys playing well, things don't break right for you. You can at least put your best players out there.
Yeah. Here's a BBP listeners love this stuff. So we're both wandering around the locker room, and I go up to their favorite center, Russell Bodine. Say, hey, Russ. Hey, yeah, a minute. Yeah, yeah. So I lead into my first question to Russell about pass pro. It's like, hey, you know, Witt just said you guys drop back 50 times, and the quarterback's pretty clean. And Ryan Hewitt, two lockers down, says, how many times we throw it? And so I look at him, I said, 54.
Yep.
And he just went about getting his business
done.
But it was like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if I was him, I'd be steaming. Now, to his credit, he's not like that.
No.
He's very much a team guy, whatever, but there's a reason he would ask something like that. Yeah. I mean, it's apparent that he's his position. And why is he not even in as a tight end?
I guess that's been really surprising too, because I thought last year we saw some flashes of him being able to get out into the route and Andy trusting the fact that he would be there. He made a couple big catches. I remember in that Buffalo game. Yes. We're kind of like Ryan Hewitt. There he is.
He's proven to be a really nice receiver when he's out there. And, you know, instead you're going to say, well, we've got these guys on their 10th practice. Well, you can have other guys out there if you want that aren't on their 10th practice that are a part of, you know, I want to do this first. I want to bring in Ken Zampezi because I feel like we're railing on this whole thing here. I want you to hear his voice and his thoughts on a lot of this. So here's some of Ken Zampezi, Bengals offensive coordinator, sitting down with reporters on Monday in reaction to where the offense is at after 2 weeks.
I'm sure hopefully the running game had gotten on track a little bit better early. I mean, you went at it pretty early in the football game with not great results, and that had to be a little discouraging for you.
Yeah, it wasn't what we planned on, but it's what happened. And then we moved on to some other things and circled back around later. And then there were some situations at the end of the half, end of the game, where it wasn't quite the situation to do a lot of that.
Ken, as a play caller, when you can't run it effectively, how much does that limit what you can do? And as you mentioned, you have to move on to other things because you got to move the ball.
Yeah, there's enough on the call sheet to move it around, and there's other ways to get the other players involved. There's still ways to get the backs involved, like shove the screens and things like that. So there's a multitude of things that we can do to keep moving the ball down the field. You just like it to be everything you have on the call sheet.
Gio obviously shines in that kind of a situation. His numbers speak for itself when they're playing that type of deal and going to rally up and make tackles. He's got the wiggle. And,
are you talking Gio?
Yeah, Giovanni Bernard obviously shines in that kind of atmosphere.
He did an excellent job. You know, as far as their, you know, dropping out, he showed up and really made some nice plays with the ball in his hand.
Witt used the phrase head scratching as to the run game production, what it's been the first two games. Is it a thing where a frustration thing? Or
It just hadn't happened the way we wanted it for 2 weeks, and it'll be better this week.
Anything you put your finger on for the reason?
Oh, that's for us and the coaches. And
yeah. The simple fix?
Yeah, I think so.
Who do you see Ryan fitting in? I mean, obviously, he's when you look at kind of snap plays and counts or whatever, and I think it's just a dozen the last 2 weeks. I mean, is that just packages and calls and how you see it, or you know, how do you kind of view?
Well, we end up in a lot of three wide receiver sets, you know, and that doesn't involve him quite as much as some of the other things, which is unfortunate. That guy's a very, very good player, and we'll find ways to get him on the field more than he has in his first 2 weeks, that's for sure.
The three receiver sets, I guess, gets back to balance. I guess you haven't been in a situation where you get either third and long, so you got to go three. I guess it's down to distance is dictating the three wides.
Yeah, situations, you know, in the first game, we had some productive things, you know, in the second half with the three wide receivers. And this game, we're in a two-minute situation, both halves, so those numbers jump up as far as what's on the field.
You mentioned that embracing the challenge of this week, and which mentioned Von Miller. What have you seen out of Cedric? You know, he missed the preseason, so he gets his first start, and then, you know, second game, so now it's Von Miller and Cedric out there kind of on that right side. What have you seen with Ced and his kind of development the last couple weeks, and what do you think that kind of means for this sort of stage for him with that guy?
It'll be fantastic for him. He's quick and long, and that's what you need to block any of those real, real good pass rushers. So he'll develop even more this week like he has the first 2 weeks, and he'll be ready to go.
How do you think he started, Caddy? How do you think he's responded?
You know, I like what he's done. There's certainly growing pains with any young player, especially one that didn't have a chance to do a lot in spring and in training camp. But that's a guy that has a lot of want to, and he's coached by a very good football coach. And he's got a good group with him. He's got a veteran quarterback, and his learning curve will be as fast as it possibly can.
All right, there's Ken Zampezi talking about some of the issues and where they're at with fixing them with this offense. You know, they're missing Tyler Eifert, and he is the X factor game changer for this team.
Yeah, we saw it last year.
It's
week one.
There's no doubt about it. You want to talk about the Bengals had trouble in the red zone on Sunday?
Yeah,
well, there's a guy that changes that 100%. Yeah.
1 for 6 through 2 weeks.
Yep. That's a huge number right there. And, you know, Tyler Eifert had 13 touchdowns last year, and only one of them wasn't in the red zone. I wanted that stat so bad. He was at the 21-yard touchdown. I mean, he is the red zone for the Bengals.
Yeah.
Because then it's pick your poison, 18 or 85. And Dalton will find a way to get a one-on-one on one of the two of them. Yep. And they're clearly missing him. But when you've got, look at it. C.J. Uzomah, one of the controversial plays yesterday.
Yeah.
Is that a play that Tyler Eifert makes?
Well, that's a
good
question.
A tough play.
But what I will say is Tyler Eifert doesn't drop the ball in the fourth quarter that Tyler Kroft did. That would have been a first down.
Or the one in the first quarter that was a third down conversion. That would have been a third down conversion right out of his hands.
Now, you know. I won't really give CJ too much of a problem for getting just blown up and having Mike Mitchell dislodge that ball. It was a textbook hit, shoulder to stomach and ball. Very few guys are going to hold on to that from the backside, to be honest. But, you know, I do think there are definitely elements, especially when AJ Green just kind of says, hey, they clogged up my side of the field, clogged it up, had nowhere to go, essentially. You know. I don't think that happens when 85 is running around, because 87 and 81 haven't proven that they, A, can catch it and then make a big play. I mean, 54 yards against the Jets is nice, but, you know, that was it.
It was one. It's one play. He's had one play.
Right.
And then he's had other ones that he hasn't made. A lot of them he hasn't made. And he's a fifth-round pick who was supposed to be your third-string tight end.
Yes.
I mean, so let's have some perspective here. This isn't about CJ.
No.
It's kind of about Ryan Hewitt.
Yeah.
I mean, why would he not be out there at least a little bit involved in if you're not going to use him as an H-back? He knows the offense as good as anybody. Get him out there and have him, you know, especially the first week. Why couldn't he have been the one out there playing 10, 15 snaps at tight end to give CJ a break? The dude's been running all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, all camp. So I don't know. Ryan Hewitt is not going to come in and suddenly the Bengals offense is going to be great.
Right.
It's not the point. But, I mean, the point is that you got to play to your strengths. And I think he's one of their strengths a little bit. You mentioned this And this is worth discussing. The game that Tyler Boyd had, the Steelers clogged up A.J. Green. They decided to stop the run and said, everybody else, we dare you. And Tyler Boyd almost did it.
Yeah.
I mean, he was doing it.
Yeah.
What did he, 6-4, what did he end up?
6-70, something around there.
Yeah. I mean, a nice day.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for him, overshadowed by the way it ends. And that's on him partially, even though, well, no matter how you feel about the call, it was close.
Yes.
So you just can't have that. You can't put that in the decision of the officials.
Right.
But he played really well, and they need that. I mean, that's how teams are going to continue to play them, especially good teams like Denver. I mean, but I thought I came away pretty encouraged by his day, despite the way it ended.
No, I agree. Especially because it builds off what you saw in New York, some separation, tough catches, sort of an instinct to when to run, when to get down. I think in Pittsburgh, you know, his instinct on the fumble was right. There's 92. And James Harris, go down. And he went down and just, I guess, not quick enough. You know, I think that's his development over the last 2 weeks in real speed and real games against good defenses. I mean, he's built that trust real quick with Andy. And that was a question, right?
Yeah.
You know, definitely has to be encouraging for all involved in that offense. He's going to have to score some touchdowns, make some big plays to maybe really truly pull some of that help away from A.J. Green. But again, Eifert will help with that too.
Yeah.
But Tyler Boyd, I don't know. I think it was not just a good day, but I think it means good things for this offense, you know, in the coming weeks.
Yeah, because those guys have to make plays. But yeah, we saw that. I mean, we saw that in preseason and in camp. That he's that type of guy. But there's going to be a time where it's going to take a few weeks for him to really. I mean, the speed of the regular season is different than preseason and camp. So I thought we saw that on Sunday. So
he was like the go-to guy.
He was. That was who was being left one-on-one over and over again.
And he was
on the non-clogged side.
Right. And you got to win those, though.
And he was.
And he was, yes.
And he was winning them over and over again. I mean, the third and long that he caught was huge. And, yeah, you know, I mean, if they would have kept going, I think he'd have been the one that they'd have been – he probably would have caught in 2-3 more balls on just on that little drive alone.
Right.
Him and
Gio.
Gio racking up the catches and the yards.
100 yards.
When you catch 9 checkdowns. I don't know how many of his receptions were on those last two drives.
Yeah.
I mean,
most of them.
You know, if they're not going to hand it to you, at least they're getting the ball to him in some way. But, you know, that's just because they're sitting there playing a prevent and giving you the check down over and over again. You know. Let's go to Tyler Boyd audio. You at one point, he was mobbed, of course.
Yeah.
Being in Pittsburgh, where he grew up and where he played for Pitt, and was pretty beloved there. I mean, they love Tyler Boyd there.
They do.
Huge! I love it in the locker room after the game. There's just the massive media contingent in the half oval around his locker with him not there.
Right,
just standing there waiting. They were all clearly told go talk to Tyler Boyd.
Right,
and you know he was a storyline and an even bigger storyline after the way the game ended. But still, it was funny and all the Pittsburgh people there. But after everything was said and done and the dust finally cleared, I know you ended up having a little bit of one-on-one with him.
Yeah, just a little bit. Talk ball control and just roll on the day. He was a little I thought he handled himself pretty well in that situation, especially a lot of local TV kind of drilling him about coming home and being at home, being in the other locker room for the first time, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, just a few minutes of him just sort of by himself after that being able to kind of breathe a little bit after all the crowd was there.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's a little bit of Jim and Tyler Boyd.
You know, what were they kind of providing for you up there, like you said, when Andy's looking your way? Was it just one of those things where you just felt you were winning matchups and you know, they were trying to keep balls from going deep, so you ended up kind of being the outlet in a lot of ways?
You know, just being in the right spot at the right time, you know, just led – up to that. You know, if a guy wasn't there deep, then they felt pretty comfortable at the under route. You know, things like just open up short yards.
Did it feel? Why do you think you guys weren't able to get out of the rut as you were last week? Because there were, you know, there's three and outs, and that's what's going to happen. But the fact they were stacked, was it because it was third and long, or was it something they were doing that wasn't letting you guys like click and get extended drives?
That's a great question. We probably won't know until we watch film, trying to film on the way home. You know, it's a lot of things that was probably going on, and just being a player, just trying to do your job, it's hard to, you know, just see around and see what's going wrong.
And I know, guys, I mean, fumbling is a part of the game. Is that disappointing, though, knowing that you're getting down there and making a play? And, I mean, like you said, better ball possession, that's strictly something you could take away from that?
Definitely. You know, we was in scoring drive. You know, I felt we had an opportunity. We all knew we had an opportunity. You know, just being that guy to let it all go down isn't a good feeling. You know, but like I mentioned, I got great teammates here. They had my back and kept me up. So I just can't do nothing but go into the next week and make sure I do better and go to work.
Okay, so there's where that's at. You mentioned things will get better with Tyler Eifert. We should mention he was on the field on Sunday running routes.
Yeah.
And catch, and clearly there was a lot of attention being paid to what he was doing. They had the iPad out.
Yep.
They were videoing everything. Nick Cosgrave, the director of rehab, was right there. There were about three other people all with close eyes on Tyler, and he was putting in a workout.
Yeah.
The Bengals have done this in the past. They've done this with lots of guys that are coming back off injury. They like to get them out there on game day.
Right.
And get them their feel on game day to see where they're at. I think that's, you know, we haven't talked to Tyler yet about how he felt. That's important. I mean, but that was clearly what the time that they were using to gauge where he was at and if he's going to be able to go soon. From our completely untrained eye, all the way above up top, trying to gauge what pregame routes against air looked like, I thought he looked okay. I thought he looked fine.
Yeah,
but it's more about how he felt.
Yeah, it's usually for when you push to a new level, which is what route running, getting a guy ready for game day, and then how does it feel Monday? You know, just like anybody else, how does your foot feel? And then you go through your modalities and all the things that they do. Tuesday's an off day, and then obviously Wednesday will be the big test. Was that enough to allow him to practice with the team,
yeah,
in full pads? And honestly, that'll obviously tell a difference if he's ready Sunday for Denver. My opinion is if he doesn't practice, he's out till week five. Because I don't see how they would have him just practice one day before Miami.
Yeah, if he's not ready to go for Sunday, I don't see the difference between 4 days later.
Right. Because then you get the mini bye.
Yeah. Yeah. We talked about this last week. Gut says week five.
Yeah.
Dallas, week five. Tyler Eifert's back.
Yeah.
I think.
Which is disappointing. I mean, we've talked about this, and I know way back when he targeted week one, and then there was a report that no one really could really get pinned down, where it was like between 4 and 6, and now I guess we're seeing that. I don't know, Paul, the way I look at it is this dude, his whole career has missed at least 3 to 4 games for a variety of reasons.
Pretty much every year.
So maybe they feel, you know what, we'll get it on the front end. You know, Pittsburgh, the other team that seems to hurt him all the time, is way at the end of the season.
Yeah. Well, don't rush him back.
There's that too. I mean, you want to make sure he's ready to go because he's gonna get the ball and he's gonna take a pounding just by the nature of his position.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, keep an eye out on our Twitter feeds and on Cincinnati.com, obviously, and we'll update you on where he is at on Wednesday. If he comes out and is practicing, then so you're saying there's a chance. I mean, he said, you know, as the report started to come out, what you generally heard was he's optimistic about week three.
Yeah.
And he said, okay, a couple weeks.
Right.
He said at the beginning of last week.
Right.
Which kind of makes you think it's probably week five, but it could be if he would heal a little fast. But they're not going to rush him.
No,
back.
Clearly. Honestly, Paul, I really, truly think he wanted to play against the Jets.
Yeah.
Like if you were to leave it up to him. But I think other people, and rightfully so, are saying, hey, man, slow your roll. Mm-hmm. Because their goal, I mean, this is a team that talks to us about the Super Bowl. I mean, you got to win a playoff game first. But look, if he rolls in week four, five, and they go to February, it's a full season.
Here's a scenario. Here's a scenario for you. Bengals offense comes out as many offenses have against Denver and has a terrible day.
Yes.
Because Denver's got a great defense.
Yes.
Does the itch and the 1-2 record and the struggling offense, particularly if there's red zone woes again,
yeah.
is there a push to Miami to unleash 85 and 55 together on and with the
color rush day?
With the color rush.
Wow.
I mean, is there an itch to give Tyler his wish on that Thursday and say, we need this one. That's enough. Let's get our guy back.
Yes, because you could do the pitch count with 85 that never works for 55.
No.
Like, you can literally, I think, especially if that scenario were to be true, Paul, where they score 20 points in whatever fashion, and, you know, and they're sitting there on Monday, 1-for-9 in red zone, be like, you know what? He can run 18 yards and post them up, you know, or he can run 70, whatever it may be. I can see a 12, because he's on the active roster, so it's not like, you know, you got any of those issues. So I could see that being like,
give
he's
him
got 12.
10 to 15 snaps?
Yeah.
And have them almost all be in the red zone?
Yeah. One-on-one coverage.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see. You know, he did his last, and people I'm sure will answer this because our photographer, Kareem Alguazar, loves the Tyler Eifert leaping one high kick touchdown. Yeah. His final rep on Sunday was a leaping one-handed grab. Yes, on air, but in terms of fans want to know, yes, he did jump. He did land. So that.
He looked like himself.
Yes. Yeah, so you're right, Paul. I would say if that scenario plays out,
I could see that.
Yeah.
That's the only way I could see that Thursday happening.
Yeah.
If it's just the team gets real itchy and nervous about starting
1-2. Yeah. And you don't want to go 1-3 against a bad Miami squad.
No, they should win that game.
Yeah, they should win it anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. So one other thing I wanted to bring up, and not that this is different necessarily than any loss, but, you know, the locker room, what was your thoughts on the locker room after the game?
My first thought is light.
Yeah, very light.
Yeah, light. Not teeth clenched. I mean, unhappy, of course. Quiet in some areas. But yeah, light.
Yeah, I didn't. There certainly wasn't a lot of frustration. It was sort of get him next time type deal, whatever type feel to it. And that's good. I mean, they should feel that way. It's week two. They're 1-1. I mean, it might have been different had they lost in New York. But I'm telling you, that New York win really bought them a little bit of goodwill.
Yeah. Yeah. 0-2 is way different because
0-2 and facing the Super Bowl champs
is
a whole different mentality in that locker room.
Yeah.
But I think because it's 1-1 and, you know, there was controversy.
Yeah, it's but not
we got
typical.
Jobbed, right? You know,
yeah, I mean, but not yeah. We got jobbed. We were screwed again, but not crazy controversy where you're like, you know, where you're grilling guys for reaction on, you know, coaches on the field.
Jared Porter.
There wasn't any of that.
No, none of that. Which, by the way, we should. I don't know if we said it on Thursday, but when you went up to Pittsburgh. Jared Porter.
Yeah.
Joey Porter was not available.
No.
Not made available.
No.
Nor was Mike Munchak.
No.
Nor was pretty much anybody you wanted to talk to. That was of interest of that way. I don't know if we ever got that on the record last week. But so, yeah, Pittsburgh continuing to protect their troublemakers,
yeah,
shall say. But I found it interesting that, you know, it was very much like kind of type of feel. Just to give a little bit of example of that, and just because he's always good, Adam Jones, after the game, I was sort of in a little bit of the media scrum, and he's kind of mixing it up. He was kind of mixing it up with reporters, doing his thing, you know, just, now granted, he played pretty well.
Yeah.
So that helped. But, you know, just a little bit of Adam Jones after the loss to Pittsburgh.
For the most part, I think I played pretty good. I think I had two bad plays. But, that happened. I mean, how many plays did we play? That's another question. How many plays did we play?
70.
80?
Like how many? 74, I think.
Ooh, that's a lot of plays.
That's all I'm going to say. All we do is keep working, man. Make sure the guys in the locker room are sticking together. And at the end of the day, this is going to be a special group this year. I promise you that. So we'll take this one on the chin and keep working. And we'll get better from it. We will be better from it. So.
Adam, was the game clean?
I think the game was clean. We had a little shit talking out there, but that's always gonna be in the game. But as far as I think, as far as playing clean football, I think we did a good job playing in between the lines. For the most part, I think so.
This rivalry need that? Do you like the fact that guys play cleaner maybe this time?
I want to win the game, bro. So whatever we got to do to win the game, clean, dirty, whatever you want to call it, I don't care. Put that in the book.
That last part of the third, how slippery was the field that last part?
I couldn't cut. It was real slippery. But that's a part of football. We knew that coming in. You just got to do what you can do, man. And, take the good with the bad. Keep working and keep your head down. Keep working. That's all I can do.
Who is doing the most talking?
Me. You're looking for a snitch, ain't you? I got your ass.
I'm done.
All right, so there's a little bit of Adam Jones, and so now Bengals will go on to play the Broncos this week. We got to get into our regular pieces here, though.
Yeah.
So, are you feeling ready to be mad right now?
Yes, but let me real quick. Just because I blasted him on the first one of these, I got to give for not having muffins. Beanhouse still doesn't have muffins.
What?
But they have French toast.
Oh,
so that's a huge upgrade.
Beanhouse.
So I don't know if
did word get back to Beanhouse after you called them out?
Probably not.
But, I don't know. If Beanhouse was in Sweden, word would have gotten back to him.
True. So before I am mad about something, but before before we got to that, I should at least give credit where credit's due.
No, I like that. I like that we can have moment of resolve if something that you were mad about in the past has rectified itself.
Yeah,
you're not afraid to come back and tell them about the other side.
No, not at all.
All right, so let's bring in the music and find out what is making Jim mad today. Why are you so mad, son?
Pickles. Dude, I do not like pickles.
You don't.
On my food.
You hate it.
I make an effort to tell people, i.e. wait staff, do not put pickles on my food.
They'll do it, though.
They do. And nothing makes me madder.
It's just instinct if you make sandwiches to put pickles on it because he's not used to anybody having such disdain.
Well, here's the thing. When I specifically say no pickles, it's in the order. They write it down. I see them write it. Or some wait staff is like, yo, I'm good. I'm that good. I don't need to write down orders. I can take a whole table of orders and remember everything. That's cool.
No, it's not cool. That makes me mad.
Well, but then when I get the pickles, it messes up. I don't like pickles no matter what, let alone on my sandwiches, my burgers. That pickle juice gets all in the bread.
I know.
That makes me angry.
It does. I've seen this, folks. He gets real angry. That burger's getting tossed out a window somewhere because it is it's dastardly, man.
And I got the pickle in Pittsburgh.
You did get the pickle.
Take me off.
You did get the pickle in Pittsburgh. Did it ruin your sandwich? Ruin your burger?
Yeah, the sweet potato fries made up for it a little bit, but it still made me real angry.
Yeah, no, understandable. So, also, we got to bring back something that's from last year.
Yes.
Which is, unfortunately, I'm such an idiot. why do I do this to myself?
People are so excited about this.
Yeah, I don't know how we got through last week not discussing it. I had a couple people ask me on Twitter, what's going on? Is the bet back? And I'm sad to admit the bet is back. Although, it's got a new twist this year.
A twist that's screwing you.
The twist is really screwing me.
You thought it was helping you.
This year, myself and Richard Skinner, if you don't know the history, if you're maybe new to the BBP, last year we had a bet on the over. For whatever reason, I've been on the train of the Jacksonville Jaguars for a while. Like, they were doing the right things. They're building their club. Seems like they were really doing it the right way. And they were over under to win five. The over under was 5.5 games last year. You seem to win 6. And they couldn't do it. They had 5 wins with 3 left in season, and they sucked it up. And the payoff was dinner at the Precinct. If you're not familiar with the Precinct, think of what's the most expensive restaurant you've ever been to and add about 20%. It was fantastic. It was delicious, and I paid it through the nose. So we decided what we're going to do again this year. 3-pronged this year. So we came up with 3-ish. The first was on the Cleveland Browns. For whatever reason, Skinny was loving the Browns this year. And
yeah, kind of irrational Jaggy love for the Browns.
Yeah, really irrational. So I was going to get him on that. 4.5 was the over-under. I'm feeling pretty good there, considering they're already on their third-string quarterback in week 3. Cody Kessler, under center, getting snaps from John Greco, who had to slide over from guard because they lost Cameron Irving, who's in the hospital. I mean, ridiculous stuff going on over there. They got 14 rookies all on the 53.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that is for the appetizers and all drinks. So that can be a hefty number.
Yes.
But it's still just apps and drinks. It's not, I mean, when they're serving $80 steaks, like, you know where the meat comes. And I have to say, the meat is on the Jaguars. And the number, oh, my God, the number. 7.5 wins. Because everybody's all in on all the moves they made. But I actually didn't like all the moves they were making. I didn't like it. I don't like teams that are built through free agency. They don't mesh well. But I did it because it felt right. Like, we had the history. And
Skinny wasn't real confident taking the over on the Browns. So it's kind of like you guys were both.
We did.
Going in on your teams.
Yes. So.
Yeah.
So they're 0-2. That's so Jaggy. I'm not happy about it.
Not good.
Because here's the other kicker. So for dessert, for dessert and drinks, we did a draft. Before the game in New York, we held a draft for first coach fired. We each would pick 5, snake draft style. Now, I have, I'm saying really off the top of my head, Mike McCoy. I didn't take the first round draft. I didn't take the first pick. I wanted 2 and 3 because I thought there was quantity. I got McCoy. In San Diego, who I feel good about. Caldwell, who, I don't know, the Lions might hang. He might hang around. Rex Ryan.
Yeah.
Chip Kelly and Mike Mularkey. Rex Ryan's feeling like he could be the greatest pick because I caught him late.
Yeah.
Skinny took Gus Bradley just to try to double up as part of his picks. He has Pagano, who is looking like that could be trouble for me as well. As far as the guys that he's holding on to. He has Jason Garrett, a couple other guys. But if he hits the double down on me, if the Jags stink so bad that they fire Gus Bradley in week 5, I am going to lose it. I am absolutely going to lose it.
Yeah, because at that point, the Browns doesn't really matter then. You know what I mean? Like, well, maybe you get a little, I mean, you get an app, but.
No, appetizers with an S. Yeah. I will be ordering all the appetizers. And so many drinks, bottles of wine, just bottles. That would be my only hope. It'd be my only hope,
and that'll help ease the pain when you get your part of the check. Then,
oh, but the Jags were down like 28-0, like 4 minutes into the game in San
Diego.
They
nailed it in, man. We were driving back from Pittsburgh, and I hear on the radio Donovan McNabb just blasting the Jags for mailing it in on their cross country trip.
No, they mailed it. As a you know what that brings up? People that question the coach. You send us, and so you, of course, constantly just send stuff.
I do.
That is about how much the Browns and the Jaguars suck. So if you follow us on Twitter, you're aware of this. You sent, what was this number? This was the worst winning percentage among head coaches with at least 50 games of experience ever. Gus Bradley is second. He's 12-38.
He's worse than Bruce Coslett.
Oh, even Mike Mularkey wins at 322.
And that seems getting Mularkey'd all over the place.
Dave Shula's not on this list.
Nope.
Wow.
That's all you need to know. You blew your own mind.
That did blow my mind. Did he get to 50 games?
No, I don't think so.
No, that's why. I was going to say, he would be up there. He would be right near Gus. Oh, that's bad. So anyway, so that's where we're at.
It's funny because, I was a witness to this bet, and I love to be a witness to it. And Skinny tried. He tried to loop me in on Twitter. He's like, why don't you get in on this? Uh-uh.
No, you'd rather just make fun of us.
Yeah, and I try to perpetuate it on Twitter by adding you guys with great things that I find.
The Browns are so bad, though.
I'm waiting to at you Terrell Pryor takes snaps.
Why? I mean, they've got a quarterback hurt each week. Cody Kessler's going down in week 3.
Oh, my God. The Browns.
What did they think would happen when they let all of their offensive linemen go?
It's bad, dude. I, in all seriousness, I mean, you know, Cameron Irving, hopefully, I mean, a pulmonary bruise. Yeah. His heart's bruised.
Heart's bruised.
That's, I mean, first of all, it's very serious. But that's the thing with football. You know, the Cubs and the A's and whoever else can do this in baseball and lose 112 games and rebuild and draft picks and look for the future. Because you know what? You're just striking out and you look bad. You know, Josh McCown isn't like... It's scary bad. Like, it kind of went from a joke, and it is a joke because of the Browns. They lose by 20 points. But, like, some of these dudes... Cody Kessler, if I'm his mama, I was like, you pull a hammy in practice?
Yeah, you're going to be all right. I mean, you can't just trot dudes out there with them. You're right. Rebuilding in the NFL is not the same as doing it in
No.
baseball because dudes get hurt.
Yes.
And if you don't have a quarterback, then nobody can ever get better.
No.
They won't get better because they don't have anybody that can throw to them. You know, but anyway, the Browns are a debacle. I mean, they go up 20-2 on the Ravens.
Yeah.
And lose. And then Josh McCown goes out for what will be a long time, it looks like.
You're getting appetizers, basically what I'm saying.
I'm getting apps.
You're getting
apps. That team is not winning 5 games. No. There's no
Your way. Hope here is the Gus Bradley. Your hope here is...
If I could get dessert, because dessert is dessert and dessert drinks.
Yeah.
And any celebratory item, like a real nice cigar or something. So if I could get a cigar,
you might even it up.
Cigar, a couple dessert drinks, and a really like a nice Bananas Foster's,
right,
and hefty apps, and drink my face off. That moment, we probably would. It would be about split.
Yeah, I think you'd feel all right about that.
But I need that coach fire.
Yeah,
I need that coach fire, Rexy.
The Bengals might
Buffalo owners out are the door. Buffalo owners are nuts right now.
Yeah, meeting with players.
I mean, yeah, so if they're going to fire Greg Roman, why wouldn't they just pull the trigger on Rex Ryan in like week 6? So hoping for that. That's where that sad part of my life is. all right, so I don't have a Swedish minute really right now. The Swedes, I got it again. Maybe they were mad at us for taking them on a little bit. They were again surpassed this past week. By other countries that, I mean, Canada's so strong. Perhaps we should just give more Canadian minutes. Maybe we have CFL updates or something like that. No. Not feeling that?
No.
No. But, you know, Canada's big-time fans of the BBP.
Yeah.
They're up there. But
Does that mean we're closing this on Nickelback?
Absolutely not. No.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Canada. I just swiped you. It's true.
You can close on Celine Dion.
No.
They got her too.
Well, I know.
It's a double swipe.
You know, I can live with Celine Dion, I guess.
You can?
In Vegas. More than Nickelback.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Bryan Adams. He's Canadian, isn't he?
He is.
He is. Dude, Canadian. You know what?
Yeah.
Here, I'm about to set it off. I will take Nickelback over Drake.
Wow.
I said it.
That's pretty serious. That's a lot of Drake hate. That's a lot of...
Things that make me mad.
Think that Drake makes you mad. There's no doubt about that. All right. So what are we going to go out? Are we going to go out on Bryan Adams? Are we really going to do that?
I'll let you pick.
You know, I feel like in this game against the Steelers, these guys were just like best friends.
There was a lot of love.
There was a lot of
mutual respect.
There was mutual respect, like tipping. Lots of hats were tipped.
Yep.
After the game, there was no extracurricular fighting.
Yeah.
People talking about how it was nice to have to not worry about all that stuff and not being a part of it. And they looked like kids who had been told by their mom, if you get in a fight today, you are going to be grounded.
Yes.
For 3 months.
True.
That's what the game looked like.
That's true.
So we need a song about friends and not by the Rembrandts, that stupid Friends theme song.
The first thing that comes to mind is, you know, the Zach Attack.
The Zach Attack. You're right. I mean, the Zach Attack is...
That's the best Friends song ever.
It is. You're right. All right. Let's do that. Let's do Zach Attack. Did they put out an album?
I'm sure they did. And, you know,
just to sell it, like, yeah, along with lunchboxes and everything else, yeah, at the Max. All right. Did you know, where is the restaurant where they have the actual Max?
It was one of those pop-up restaurants.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would come
there and just sit, you know, on the reverse on the chair. Like, that's pretty much the one thing I would want to do, Slater style.
Slater style? Yeah. It was in Chicago. Saved by the Max.
Yeah.
Yeah. It.
Belding will show up there. Dennis Haskins will do anything.
Yeah, so will Screech.
He's everywhere. Well,
he's like
we know Screech will do anything.
Yeah, he's like stabbing dudes.
How many sex tapes has he tried to put out now to make himself famous?
Nobody knows.
Dustin Diamond, you gotta find something else.
Yeah.
I mean, people liked you. Remember he did celebrity boxing?
Do you know that my senior year of college, someone hired him to come do stand-up that was going to be like the entertainment?
Oh, no. I bet he's not funny at all.
Oh, it was a disaster. I can't even. Look, we're on the internet. This is a podcast. It's, I guess, we would consider family-friendly, so I can't even get into some of the stuff that he said.
Oh.
Crickets. Not just crickets, but like making college students blush. Not good.
No, not good at all.
No.
Man, to look at the careers that, I mean, there's been some interesting turns of events with the Saved by the Bell crew.
Yeah.
Really, who came out best?
Mario.
Only Mario's
doing
good.
Only because he's had a resurgence.
Good.
Like, he's had a second career.
He's got his
extra
thing.
Mark Paul Gosselaar, I mean,
he was doing good for a while there. Yeah, NYPD Blue, he
made some movies. They're bad movies, but he made some movies.
He did make some movies. Yeah, Mario Lopez with the extra and, like, the fame thing.
Yeah, he's got, like, a weird radio show now, kind of.
He's hosting something, too. Like, hosting something else. He does all kinds of stuff.
He did, like, the dancing. He did some kind of group dance show on
MTV. He's like poor man Seacrest a little bit.
Yeah.
He's like wannabe Seacrest.
Yeah, just because it's, like, the syndicated radio show.
Yeah. So good for him. But
yeah.
He's definitely come out the best. So there's a lot of bad stuff happening with the rest of them. Although Tiffany Amber, she's sort of went into obscurity.
Yeah, she kind of had a Melrose
after her
place
90210
run,
like
90210,
10 years ago or whatever. Yeah, she was on that.
You know what? We need a Zach Attack reunion. That's what they need.
Maybe they'll play outside of a Bengals game. Maybe they'll play before the Miami game, before the color rush. Let's turn it around quick. BBP listeners, if you know anyone.
Start adding all the members of the Zach Attack. Friends forever.
Friends forever.
Bring
it. We need you to come play. They can play it before the Bengals-Steelers game in December. That gives us time. So, because this is realistic.
Yeah. Well, you know, Tez will be back.
Tez.
See, everyone's back together again.
Yeah, friends. They'll want to be friends. All right, so let's end this. Jesus. Zach Attack will take us out after our long Saved by the Bell discussion. So, all right, have a good one, everybody.